শুভ সন্ধ্যা। আজ সোমবার, 24শে অক্টোবর 2016 সাল। এখন ক্যানবেরাতে সময় রাত 8টা। শুরু হচ্ছে ক্যানবেরার 2XX কমিউনিটি রেডিও স্টেশন থেকে প্রচারিত সাপ্তাহিক বাংলা অনুষ্ঠান বাংলা রেডিও। অনুষ্ঠানটি প্রচারিত হচ্ছে কমিউনিটি ব্রডকাস্টিং ফাউন্ডেশন লিমিটেড ও বাংলাদেশ অস্ট্রেলিয়া অ্যাসোসিয়েশন ক্যানবেরার সৌজন্যে। প্রতি সোমবার রাত 8টায় এই অনুষ্ঠান প্রচারিত হয় FM ব্যান্ড 98.3 MHz-এ। আজ অনুষ্ঠান পরিচালনায় আছি আমি এহসানুল্লাহ। গত জুলাই মাসে নিউজ চ্যানেল CNN সহ বিভিন্ন গণমাধ্যমে নেচার জার্নালের নেচার জিওসায়েন্স কলামে একটি গবেষণার রিপোর্ট ছাপা হয়। যুক্তরাষ্ট্রের কলম্বিয়া বিশ্ববিদ্যালয়ের একদল বিজ্ঞানী ওই গবেষণায় নিশ্চিত হয়েছেন যে বাংলাদেশের নিচে একটি লুকানো ফল্ট আছে, যা গঙ্গা ব্রহ্মপুত্র নদীর পলিমাটির স্তরের নিচে ঢাকা পড়ে আছে। তারা উত্তর পূর্ব ভারত, বাংলাদেশ ও মিয়ানমার অঞ্চলের গত 10 বছরের GPS ডাটা বিশ্লেষণ করে তা নির্ধারণ করেছেন। গবেষকরা মনে করেন বাংলাদেশের নিচে 3টি টেকটোনিক প্লেটের সংযোগস্থানে একটি অন্যটির উপর প্রসারিত হচ্ছে। এই প্রক্রিয়াকে বলা হয় সাবডাকশন এবং এলাকাকে বলা হয় সাবডাকশন জোন। এই সাবডাকশন জোনেই পৃথিবীর ইতিহাসে সবচেয়ে বড় এবং প্রলয়ঙ্করী ভূমিকম্পগুলি ঘটেছে, যার মধ্যে আছে সম্প্রতি ঘটে যাওয়া 2004 সালের ভারত মহাসাগরের ভূমিকম্প আর সুনামি, যা প্রায় 2,30,000 জনের মৃত্যুর জন্য দায়ী, 2011 সালে জাপানের ভূমিকম্প ও সুনামি, যেটা 20,000 জনকে ভাসিয়ে নিয়ে গেছে এবং ফুকুশিমা পারমাণবিক কেন্দ্রকে বিপর্যস্ত করেছে, এবং অতি সম্প্রতি নেপাল ভূমিকম্পের সম্ভাব্য কারণ। কলম্বিয়া বিশ্ববিদ্যালয়ের গবেষকরা তাঁদের গবেষণায় নিশ্চিত হয়েছেন যে বাংলাদেশের নিচে টেকটনিক প্লেটগুলোর সংযোগ সীমানায় সম্প্রসারণের কারণে যে চাপ সৃষ্টি হচ্ছে তা ক্রমাগত বাড়তে বাড়তে এক প্রচণ্ড শক্তিতে পরিণত হয়েছে। তাঁরা আশঙ্কা করছেন যে কোনো সময় সেটা নিষ্কৃতি পেতে পারে এবং তা রিক্টার স্কেলে 8 থেকে 9 মাত্রার বড় ধরনের ভূমিকম্প ঘটাতে পারে। বিজ্ঞানীরা আরও আশঙ্কা করছেন বাংলাদেশের মতো জনবহুল অঞ্চলে এ ধরনের প্রলয়ঙ্করী ভূমিকম্প কোটি কোটি মানুষের মৃত্যুর কারণ হতে পারে এবং ব্যাপক ক্ষয়ক্ষতি সাধন করতে পারে। সংবাদটি পড়ার পর আমি বেশ চিন্তিত হই এবং জিওসায়েন্স অস্ট্রেলিয়ার দুজন বিশেষজ্ঞের সাথে এ নিয়ে কথা বলি, এ বিষয়ে তাঁদের অভিমত জানতে। আজকের অনুষ্ঠানে আমরা সেই দুই বিশেষজ্ঞের অভিমত শুনব। তারা হলেন ড. ফিল কামিন্স, যিনি একজন বিশিষ্ট সিসমোলজিস্ট বা ভূকম্পবিদ, এবং ড. মার্ক এডওয়ার্ড, একজন স্ট্রাকচারাল ইঞ্জিনিয়ার ও কমিউনিটি সেফটি সায়েন্টিস্ট। ক্যানবেরাতে অবস্থিত জিওসায়েন্স অস্ট্রেলিয়া অস্ট্রেলিয়ার ফেডারেল গভর্নমেন্টের জাতীয় ভূবিজ্ঞান সংস্থা। এর আওতায় আছে ভূতাত্ত্বিক, ভৌগোলিক, খনিজ, জ্বালানি ও পানি সম্পদের বিশাল তথ্যভাণ্ডার, আর এসব বিষয়ে সেবা দেওয়ার জন্য দক্ষ বিজ্ঞানীরা। এছাড়াও আছে অস্ট্রেলিয়া মহাদেশ ও পারিপার্শ্বিক অঞ্চল জুড়ে তাৎক্ষণিকভাবে তথ্য সংগ্রহের জন্য মহাকাশে, ভূপৃষ্ঠে এবং সাগরে স্থাপিত সেন্সরের বিশাল নেটওয়ার্ক। প্রতিদিন এসব তথ্য বিশ্লেষণ করে তাঁরা অস্ট্রেলিয়ার সরকার, শিল্প প্রতিষ্ঠান ও জনগণকে প্রমাণভিত্তিক সিদ্ধান্ত গ্রহণে সহায়তা করছেন। জিওসায়েন্স অস্ট্রেলিয়ার প্রথম বিশেষজ্ঞ ভূকম্পবিদ ফিল কামিন্সের কাছে আমি জানতে চেয়েছিলাম কলম্বিয়া বিশ্ববিদ্যালয়ের ওই গবেষণালব্ধ ফলে তার অভিমত, ভারত উপমহাদেশ বিশেষ করে বাংলাদেশে এর হুমকি এবং সম্ভাবনা, কোনোভাবে কি তার ভবিষ্যৎবাণী করা যায় এবং কিভাবে এর জন্য আমরা প্রস্তুতি নিতে পারি।
I have here with me Phil Cummins, earthquake scientist in Geoscience Australia.
Hello.
I would like to know from Phil, what is your view about this research finding?
Well, it seems like credible research. What they've done is measured very to very high precision the very slow motions of the ground, and those indicate that the plates that are moving together, the Indian plate and the Eurasian plate, are moving together, and that they're gradually they're sort of stuck and gradually accumulating strain energy. And the of course alarming thing about this is that energy might be released in an earthquake, and it could be a large earthquake.
Okay. In that article, a megathrust fault has been mentioned. What is a megathrust fault?
A megathrust is a subduction zone plate boundary. So at a subduction zone, one plate sort of slides beneath the other, and the contact between them is a very large thrust fault that's called a megathrust. And normally this is the kind of thing that happens offshore. So we have those in Japan, 2011 Japan earthquake, 2004 Sumatra earthquake. Those were both megathrust earthquakes. Usually these faults are offshore at a marine trench, these deep marine trenches. In this case, though, this is where it actually comes onshore. So this is the only case I know of, really, where the whole thing, where the megathrust, the whole onshore and underneath a populated area like this.
Right. Now, you have got a fair bit of understanding of our subcontinent. You gave us another interview many, many years ago, I think five, mm-hmm. 6 years ago,
yeah.
On this topic. How this fault threats the Indian subcontinent and the Bangladesh in particular?
Well, there could be very strong ground motions generated in the vicinity of this earthquake, especially if it's as big as the maximum allowed there, which would be about a magnitude 9. That could have very strong ground motions within a couple hundred kilometers of the rupture area. And that will be a real problem, especially if the construction is vulnerable.
And this could be accompanied by a tsunami, because if you say it's the offshore...
Oh, well, this is less. So, our previous interview was about the rupture area just to the south of this particular area, which that is the fault then is still sort of right along the coast and a bit offshore and does have potential to generate a tsunami then, which could be a big problem. But even that earthquake, would also cause large ground motions and liquefaction, where the sediment, since there's a lot of unconsolidated, water-saturated sediment in that area, it can experience a phenomenon called liquefaction. When it's violently shaking, it can sort of lose its cohesion and become sort of like a liquid, and this can cause buildings to essentially fall over or collapse. And there were widespread reports of a lot of liquefaction during that earthquake to the south, the 1762 historical event.
In
Chittagong, yeah. Yes, there were a lot of reports of what sounded like very, very large liquefaction events.
What would be the probability, or what is the probability of having that sort of a earthquake in that region?
Yeah, that's very difficult to answer that question. What they've measured is the accumulation of the energy. And so the question now is, how will that energy be released? It could be that in some cases this can be released aseismically, that there can be sort of slow slip along this fault that might happen over days or even weeks, and that won't be dangerous. It won't generate strong ground shaking, and so that would be good if that happens. The worst case is that it's all building up to a very large earthquake, something like a magnitude 9 earthquake, which could of course be very dangerous because that would cause widespread strong ground motion. And it's difficult to tell which of those will happen. So either of those could happen, and it could be anything in between. So it could be a series of magnitude 7 earthquakes rather than the magnitude 9, or it could all build up to the magnitude 9. So it's very difficult at this point to assess just what the probability will be and what will happen in the future. We can only sort of look at the range of possibilities, and unfortunately those are quite wide still.
Right. Is there anything that we can predict it, or we can start preparing for it? How would you suggest?
Well, you can look at things like you can consider the worst case, which will be very bad. But in terms of preparation, you know, I do, my personal feeling is that there's a tendency to look at these things as if this would be so bad there's nothing you can do. And I think, you know, far from that, there are things that we could do. The main things are to build better buildings, and Mark will talk to you about that. But, you know, there are also, you know, you might not be able to rebuild every structure in this area, but you could also look at the critical structures, schools, hospitals, other critical infrastructure. I think that I hope that there are things that you know, once people have taken in this message and start thinking about what they can do, that they will think of targeted things that they could do that might make the disaster much less than it would be if they don't prepare for it.
Do you think we need to improve the capability of, you know, the earthquake scientists in Bangladesh to know more about this and start getting, you know, more training and understanding exactly what you're doing in Indonesia?
Well, of course, I think everywhere you should increase the capacity of the earthquake science, of course, since I'm an earthquake scientist. I do think this is quite important in Bangladesh because it is a place that is sort of unique. I mean, the sediment, it's got the thickest sediment accumulations in the world, and we don't have a very good understanding, I think, of how these huge accumulations of sediments are going to influence ground motion, especially in a case like this where it's a large earthquake right underneath this big pile of sediment. So I think it is a bit unique, you know. I don't think it would be so easy to just take work other people have done elsewhere and apply it in Bangladesh because there are unique conditions in this area. So I think it would be good if there were more work done in Bangladesh on this kind of thing.
How would you be able to assist us if we go through this line? I understand you are doing some work for the Indonesian government along these lines or in earthquake-related activities?
Yeah, in Indonesia, you know, we help the technical agencies. That is a program funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. We have a program of support to the technical agencies and some of the universities to try to it involves both education and some practical work running scenarios and software that does probabilistic forecasts or probabilistic assessments of what ground motions they might need to expect. And we also help to educate some of the younger earthquake scientists there. And I think that kind of program would be great in Bangladesh, either by the Australians that might be willing to fund that.
Yeah. Do you think Geoscience Australia would be able to play a big role in that area?
Look, I think we have the expertise that could be useful.
All right. Finally, do you have any advice or anything that you'd like to add from an earthquake scientist or tsunami scientist?
Just that I think that, you know, that Bangladesh might be an extreme case, but I think that there are other countries and other megacities in Southeast Asia that face these kinds of threats. It's important to consider them seriously and really think about what we can do. I think there's a tendency to just look at these things as, you know, a disaster, that there's just nothing we could do to try and manage it. And I think there are things, if we think rationally about this and don't panic and, you know, really ask our engineers and scientists what can be done.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Phil.
You're welcome.
প্রাকৃতিক দুর্যোগ বাংলাদেশের মানুষের কাছে অতি পরিচিত। ঘূর্ণিঝড়, জলোচ্ছ্বাস, বন্যা, খরা ঋতুচক্রের মতো আমাদের জীবনে বাধা। বংশ পরম্পরায় আমরা এর সাথে বাঁচতে শিখেছি, জয় করতে শিখেছি। কিন্তু সর্বধ্বংসী 7-9 মাত্রার প্রলয়ঙ্করী ভূমিকম্প সম্পর্কে আমরা কতটুকু জানি? আর তাই জানতে চেয়েছিলাম জিওসায়েন্স অস্ট্রেলিয়ার বিশেষজ্ঞ ডক্টর মার্ক এডওয়ার্ডের কাছে। তার কাছে আরো জানতে চেয়েছিলাম বাংলাদেশের মতো জনবহুল দেশে এর ক্ষয়ক্ষতির কি নমুনা হতে পারে, দুর্যোগ মোকাবেলা আর পরবর্তী উদ্ধার ও পুনর্বাসন কর্মকাণ্ডে আমাদের কি জানা প্রয়োজন, সাম্প্রতিক বড় বড় ভূমিকম্পের অভিজ্ঞতা থেকে আমরা কি শিক্ষা নিতে পারি।
Community safety scientist with Geoscience Australia. Is that the way you identify yourself? Tell us about you and your role in GA.
Okay, well, my professional background is I'm a structural engineer, and with my work at Geoscience Australia, very much we're centred on the safety of communities identifying the community risk, and then what are the opportunities to reduce that risk. So I think a community safety scientist would be an all-embracing term, but professionally I'm a structural engineer.
Great. Yeah. I have given you the research report or a synopsis of the research, and I have a few questions to ask you from your point of view.
Yeah.
What sort of catastrophe or destruction is expected from an earthquake, as Felix said, to the predicted range of 7 to 9 Richter scale?
Okay. Well, perhaps it would be useful just to look at the context of Dhaka as a city. It has a high population. The 2011 census gave the metro population at 17 million. So if we look at the unofficial population, that very likely is well over 20 million. It's quite high density development, so people are quite cramped in together in terms of the buildings and the population living within those buildings. And typically the construction is poor. So while there are building standards in Bangladesh, the level of enforcement is quite variable. So within the city, there are buildings that have been built without any consideration of the building regulations, regardless of even putting aside issues associated with earthquake hazard. So that has an impact on how it's designed. It has an impact on the quality of materials that are used for construction, and it impacts how the building is then subsequently built. And also looking at the nature of Dhaka, the preferred forms of construction, some of them are quite vulnerable. So we're looking at unreinforced masonry construction, load-bearing unreinforced masonry. There's poorly detailed for earthquake reinforced concrete frames, no doubt with poor quality materials used. And we also, within the business districts, we have some taller structures. So there are structures up to nearly 40 stories in Dhaka, which some of which will be designed well and built well, but a large proportion will be substandard. And even if an owner invests in a more reliable building, he has the problem of his neighbours being likely more vulnerable. So while your building will travel quite well in an earthquake, you might find that your neighbour impacts your building or falls on your building, and so you don't get a very good outcome from that. So that's sort of like a context to Dhaka. Then looking at then the severe end of that scale, a magnitude 9 earthquake, I mean, that's a very large earthquake. There's a lot of energy being ruptured. Dhaka is within 100 kilometres of that. Phil's already mentioned sediments, which will amplify that shaking. So we're likely to see shaking in excess of MMI 9. It'll be MMI 9 or possibly worse in Dhaka. So that would result in quite widespread collapse of the more vulnerable buildings. And we might even see some taller buildings very badly damaged or possibly collapsing. People will be impacted by falling masonry as they flee from buildings because of the narrow streets. We'll probably find that low-rise masonry buildings will be affected the most in that regard. So we're going to see many of those collapse and trap people. But the other interesting thing with a megathrust earthquake and the deep sediments that we have beneath that city is that it will tend to result in an earthquake ground motion which has quite a bit of long period content. So shaking that is a longer natural period of shaking dictated by the sediments. And so taller buildings might have quite surprising demands placed upon them. And we've seen that in historical earthquakes. We've seen that, for example, in Mexico City earthquake, where more poorly built tall buildings were very severely affected by the long shaking, long period shaking, and also the long duration of shaking that we would expect from a megathrust earthquake. Looking at the ground effects, Phil's already mentioned the issue of liquefaction. That will be a problem because many foundations will be shallow, so buildings will lose their foundation support, so they'll potentially topple, but they'll certainly end up quite badly damaged with severe leans. And all the buried services in the city will likely be affected, so we'll find that the water, the sewage, all of those services will be quite badly disrupted. Manholes will float out of the ground because they displace enough water. So we're looking at a major disruption to critical infrastructure. But perhaps the saddest consequence of this, we would expect quite a significant loss of life. depending on the time of day, if it was a nighttime earthquake, probably the worst. But with a magnitude 9, you may have, you know, in excess of 100,000 or more people killed in such an earthquake.
What if a tsunami is coming up with this earthquake?
Well, with Dhaka, it's probably unlikely that they'll be impacted by a tsunami. But if you did have a tsunami, it would be the ground shaking that would impact first. That would cause the immediate damage due to ground shaking, and then the tsunami would arrive after that. The tsunamis carry a lot of debris with them. If we think in terms of tsunami, it might be better to think in terms of Chittagong, which is a coastal city.
Yeah.
Tsunamis are very destructive. The ground shaking would cause buildings to collapse. The immediate damage to the buildings in the tsunami would come. It would carry quite a significant debris load as it propagates into the urban area, and will tend to damage buildings, particularly in the lower floor. So any light construction would typically be totally destroyed. If people are trapped within buildings, potentially they will drown in a tsunami. And the other interesting feature with the tsunami is you are also looking at multiple waves of impact, so the damage will be progressively accumulated over a period of time. Well, I think what would be very useful is for people to be aware of the risk they have and behave in a way that increases their chance of survival. So, for example, in the case of an earthquake, is training them to actually look for cover and hold on to that cover if it's within a building, underneath a table or next to a bench and so on, so that increases their chance of surviving if the building is severely damaged and collapsed. So whereas if people just rush out of a building, falling masonry may well kill them in the street. And that would also be true in the case of tsunami, where people need to move to a higher level, which might be vertical evacuation within a building, or being able to move away from the coastal areas in the case of a tsunami, which will be very difficult in these very densely populated cities, and it also presumes of the ability to warn people of an impending tsunami. So the awareness of the populace would be an important part of that. Also, making people aware of what they can achieve by investing in building better buildings. People tend to see the cost of building a more resilient structure, they save the money, so they're adding to their own personal risk. So there's an educational aspect there in helping people see that if they invest more in their building, they're reducing their chance of injury. Targeted mitigation is important. Now, Phil's already made reference there to schools. We can think of schools, hospitals, emergency services buildings. They would be priority facilities for retrofit to make them less vulnerable. And what would also be very useful is to better understand the risk for those communities. But looking into the future, the enforcement of the building regulations would be pretty important, which is a challenge in many developing countries, and a need to educate the design professional in how to design for these severe hazard events. So Phil's mentioned the need for scientists to understand the nature of the hazard, the geological hazards, but there's also a need for those that design infrastructure, buildings within countries like Bangladesh, to know how to design to make them more resilient.
Mark, you mentioned about this and this public awareness and education.
Yeah.
I think the Bangladesh government is currently going through that phase.
Yeah.
You see a lot of TV ads or TV awareness that coming up in TV,
good,
different channels.
Yes.
And they're taking shelter under the table and what to do during an earthquake. Mm. What I'm concerned is what would be the post-disaster activities and events. So in that situation, how the country could prepare itself should there be an earthquake, what are the things that we need to be aware of? I know about like a crisis coordination center, how this crisis could be coordinated,
mm-hmm.
what are the agencies that need to be kept, got involved in that sort of good, you know, after event services like hospitals, like emergency services, how to train them, how to organize them. I think that bit is less, you know, emphasized in current Bangladesh government's policies. What would be your advice or your suggestion along those lines?
Well, I think Bangladesh could learn a lot from how events have been successfully managed in other countries. And what would be a significant need, I think, after an earthquake in, say, Bangladesh, would be urban search and rescue. And that is a specialist skill required. It's taken time both in Australia and New Zealand to develop skilled teams that can do this in an effective way. So that's something that can be done now in anticipation of a rare but quite credible earthquake that will rely upon those. What can help in planning for those things too is using realistic scenarios. So looking at the experience we have here in Australia and in New Zealand is where you look at all the logistics that you would have to deal with in responding. So say we have a major earthquake in Dhaka. You're going to lose bridges, you're going to lose transport corridors. So how logistically do you get the help to those that need the help? So realistically developing scenario events of different severities and then exercising it with your emergency management as to how it would be managed will help a lot, because it would be much more seamless after the event in making decisions and how you're going to get around what can be quite challenging situations.
Okay, thank you very much, Phil, and thank you very much, Mark, for this interview.
Yep.
And I look forward to talk to you again to follow up any of this if we have got some interest from the listeners.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
এতক্ষণ আপনারা ক্যানবেরাতে অবস্থিত অস্ট্রেলিয়া সরকারের কেন্দ্রীয় ভূবিজ্ঞান সংস্থা জিওসায়েন্স অস্ট্রেলিয়ার দুজন বিশেষজ্ঞের সাথে সাক্ষাৎকার শুনলেন। ডক্টর ফিল কামিন্স একজন ভূকম্পবিদ ও ভারত উপমহাদেশে প্রাচীন ভূমিকম্পের উপর একজন জ্ঞানসম্পন্ন বিজ্ঞানী। তিনি উল্লেখ করেন, কলম্বিয়া বিশ্ববিদ্যালয়ের ওই গবেষণার উপর তাঁর আস্থা আছে। তিনি মনে করেন, গবেষণায় নির্ণয় করা দীর্ঘদিনের সঞ্চিত প্রচণ্ড শক্তিটি এককালীন অথবা খণ্ডে খণ্ডে নির্গত হতে পারে। এককালীন নিষ্কমনে সেটা অনেক বড় মাপের, প্রায় 8 থেকে 9 মাত্রার ভূমিকম্প সৃষ্টি করতে পারে। তাঁর বিশ্বাস, নিঃসন্দেহে সেটা ঘটবে যে কোনো সময়, অকস্মাৎ, অদূর কিংবা দূর ভবিষ্যতে। সম্প্রতি জাপান সুমাত্রায় যে বড় মাত্রার ভূমিকম্পগুলি ঘটেছে তা একই ফল্ট এলাকায়, তাই এর জন্য প্রস্তুত থাকা বাংলাদেশের জন্য অত্যন্ত জরুরি। কমিউনিটি সেফটি সায়েন্টিস্ট ও স্ট্রাকচারাল ইঞ্জিনিয়ার ডক্টর মার্ক এডওয়ার্ডস কতগুলো বিষয়ে গুরুত্ব আরোপ করেন। তিনি জিওসায়েন্স অস্ট্রেলিয়ার জ্ঞান, প্রযুক্তি আর অভিজ্ঞতার উল্লেখ করে বলেন, তারা নিয়মিত অস্ট্রেলিয়ার বিভিন্ন শহরে ও গুরুত্বপূর্ণ স্থানে বিভিন্ন মাত্রার ভূমিকম্পের সম্ভাব্য ঝুঁকি আর ক্ষতির পরিমাপ করছেন। এ দ্বারা সরকার ও বিভিন্ন প্রতিষ্ঠান প্রমাণভিত্তিক পরিকল্পনা ও সিদ্ধান্ত নিতে পারছে। আন্তর্জাতিকভাবে ডিপার্টমেন্ট অব ফরেন অ্যাফেয়ার্সের আওতায় অস এইডের মাধ্যমে ইন্দোনেশিয়া ও ফিলিপিন্সে প্রশিক্ষণ দান করছেন এবং তাদের প্রয়োজনীয় দক্ষতা ও সম্পদ উন্নয়নে সহায়তা করছেন। অস্ট্রেলিয়া ও নিউজিল্যান্ডের দুর্যোগ মোকাবেলা ও পরবর্তী সার্চ অ্যান্ড রেস্কিউ কোঅর্ডিনেশনের যে দক্ষতা ও অভিজ্ঞতা ইতিমধ্যে তারা অর্জন করেছেন তা উন্নয়নশীল দেশগুলোকে শেখানো সম্ভব। বাংলাদেশ চাইলে এর জন্য আগ্রহ প্রকাশ করতে পারে। আমি ব্যক্তিগতভাবে মনে করি, কলম্বিয়া বিশ্ববিদ্যালয়ের ওই গবেষণাটি বাংলাদেশের জন্য অনেক গুরুত্বপূর্ণ। আমি আশা করব আজকের অনুষ্ঠানের আলোকে বাংলাদেশ সরকার, সংশ্লিষ্ট প্রতিষ্ঠানসমূহ ও আপামর জনগণ এ ব্যাপারে পরবর্তী পদক্ষেপগুলো নেওয়ার উদ্যোগী হবেন। আমরা আজকের অনুষ্ঠানের শেষ প্রান্তে এসে পৌঁছেছি। আশা করি অনুষ্ঠানটি আপনাদের ভালো লেগেছে। বাংলা রেডিও আপনাদের কেমন লাগে জানালে আমরা খুশি হব। মতামত জানানোর ইমেল হল bangla@gmail.com। আমাদের পরবর্তী অনুষ্ঠান প্রচারিত হবে আসছে সোমবার রাত 8টায়। শোনার আমন্ত্রণ রইল। আমাদের আজকের অনুষ্ঠানের এখানেই সমাপ্তি। আপনারা যে যেখানেই থাকুন সুস্থ থাকুন, আনন্দে থাকুন ও শান্তিতে থাকুন, এ কামনা করে আজ বিদায় নিচ্ছি। শুভরাত্রি।